Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about a subject that very few people talk about, and very few people talk about it because a lot of people are convinced that this is a purely female phenomenon, but we are increasingly understanding that it is not. It is a male phenomenon as well, and that is the male borderline, men who have borderline personality disorder. How will you realise, as for example, a woman on a first date with such a man, or a woman getting to know such a man, or even a man who gets to know such a man in the context of being a friend to such a person, how will you realise that what you are dealing with is a borderline? Because these people can be very dangerous, these people can be very emotionally draining, these people can cause you serious problems, so it really is rather good to know. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. Before that, could you do me a favour? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? And in that YouTube basically demonetizes me, could you also subscribe on Substack? That's where I do all the most base stuff that I do, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, you know, anything that I can't put on here, in-person interviews, films I make, all kinds of stuff. And where if you like what I do, you can actually support me, which you can't by watching the videos on YouTube, for as little as the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, borderline personality disorder. What is borderline personality disorder? Borderline personality disorder is a condition. It's a cluster B disorder, so it's a personality disorder that goes along with things like narcissism, which is when you have an inflated ego and you think you're brilliant, you think you're amazing and you're entitled and you feel that you're special and that kind of thing. Often as a means of coping with negative feelings, you create a narcissistic false self. Machiavellianism, psychopathy. And borderline personality is characterised by unstable moods and problems with emotional regulation, by fear of a fundamental fear of abandonment, by impulsive behaviour such as in sexual relationships or drinking or whatever, by identity disturbance, so because you're anxious and you're anxious about yourself, you're constantly wondering who you really are and what you should do, and so you cycle through identities, by a chronic sense of emptiness, by intense anger, by self-harm, and by psychosis. This is under extreme levels of stress, such people can enter into psychotic states where they're extremely paranoid. So these are the, and also by a series of intense and unstable relationships in which you idealise and then rapidly de-idealise your partner. Now, that's borderline personality disorder. It used to be thought that this was predominantly female, and many studies will argue that about 75% of diagnoses are female, but that's because women are more likely to go to doctors if they feel these kinds of problems. And it's increasingly being argued that men are just as likely to have borderline personality disorder, but it will often be diagnosed as something else, such as bipolar disorder, depression, or narcissistic personality disorder. Now, it might be argued in that it clearly it crosses over with narcissistic personality disorder, because such people will oscillate between feelings of being that they're wonderful and they're amazing and they found their ideal person and everything is incredible and life is wonderful, and a collapse in which they feel absolutely awful. So perhaps such men can be understood to be kind of failed narcissists, i.e. what such men do is they have all these negative feelings, anxiety, depression, anger, all these negative feelings, a feeling of insecurity, a feeling of being unloved, a weak attachment style, and they deal with this by telling themselves that they're wonderful, they're superior and they're great and they're entitled and they're perfect, and this they do this until something punctures this, and then they collapse down into hating themselves and loathing themselves and whatever, and then they oscillate back again. And this can often happen with girls that have a borderline personality disorder. They have these very unstable moods where they will go from a kind of a mania where they feel amazing about themselves to feeling absolutely awful and absolutely terrible. So you can see how it crosses over. According to researchers, the key difference between male and female borderlines is that males are much more likely to externalise their feelings. So whereas with women it's things like self-harm and that sort of thing, with men it's much more likely to be anger. It's much more likely for basic biological reasons to manifest as jealousy, to manifest as being extremely controlling of the partner, and to manifest as just taking absolutely insane risks. Now, how will you notice this on a first date? How will you notice that a person has these kinds of traits? Well, it's really going to be very similar to what you would notice in a female, except that obviously it is less socially acceptable in men. It is less sexy to come across as vulnerable. so they are unlikely to come across as vulnerable, whereas borderline women will very quickly tell you that they were abused as a child, that they had an ex-boyfriend that abused them, that they are the world's biggest victim, and that you and imply that you must look after them. The men obviously understand that you can't do that. That's a huge turn-off for a woman. They obviously realise that, although perhaps they will do that, if they don't understand that yet. So you're more likely to get the similar traits, which is first that they will love-bomb you, they will tell you that you are the most amazing person that they've ever met, they will idealise you because they have all this anxiety and so they want to feel that they've found an ideal person as a person upon whom they can rely because they have weak bonds with people and so they don't feel they can really rely on anybody, so they desperately want someone they can rely on, that you're wonderful, that you're amazing, that you're special, that you're such a special person, that they really feel for you, that they really want to look after you. So they will love bomb you. That will be the first thing. Secondly, to the extent that they talk about exes, you will find that there will be a long string of exes, and these will be very, very quick relationships. They are unlikely to have had a very, very serious long-term relationships because borderlines will tend to cycle through relationships. They will tend to have very quick, very, very intense relationships that quickly fall apart. They will give you too much information. There will be something about it that you can tell, hang on, this is slightly too much. That you will come across as, oh, he wears his heart on his sleeve, he's so honest, he's such an honest guy. But in reality, no, it's giving away too much information, and that's insecurity that makes them do that, because they think that being honest bonds is a bond. You will notice in a man, perhaps less so in a woman, snapping. That they will very easily snap. There will be this barely concealed anger. This barely concealed anger that they don't really have in control. That they will just snap suddenly. And you will see that come through. And then they will put it away again. But them snapping, that will be another thing. In the identity disturbance is a key part of borderline personality, i.e. that you don't really know who you are. They tend to deal with that by having a very strong and clear identity. So do they have a very pronounced identity, a very strong, a very clear subcultural group of which they are a part? This may be reflected in things like lots of tattoos, because tattoos are a way of expressing a very clear identity, of marking your identity on your very body. They may possibly share with you at a very early stage things that subtly imply that they have abusive parents, or they had an abusive ex-girlfriend, or something like that. That the world will be a series of evil, unpleasant people that they have triumphed over. So these will be, and another thing then with identity as well, is have they changed identity? Have they undergone a dramatic change in identity? Have they gone from being an atheist to being a Christian, or a Christian to being an atheist, or anything, left-wing to being right-wing, right-wing to being left-wing, anything like that? That is not what a stable person does. So these will be the signs, particularly in a man, that he has borderline personality disorder. Now, then there will be other things that will start to emerge, possibly quite quickly. In particular, jealousy and control and the taking of risk as well. Does he seem to do things that imply he likes taking risk? Does he engage in hobbies, for example, that you would consider to be risky? All of these kinds of things are telling you something. Does he confess? This is a very important one. Does he not drink? Does he not drink alcohol? Most men drink alcohol. Does he not drink alcohol? I would see that as a major red flag, because why not? And if it's that, well, he used to drink alcohol and he became an alcoholic, well, why? And normally that inability to have a reasonable relationship with booze, and therefore totally rejecting it, is indicative of identity disturbance and is indicative of mental instability. So you can see that it's slightly different from what you would see in a female. Although in a female you might often see that they don't drink alcohol as well. But it's slightly different from what you would see in a female. Now, I want to give some examples of borderline men and their behaviour patterns. So, and I'll give three examples known to me. So here's the first. Chap with whom I was very good friends when I was young. And gradually, I started to see evidence of this sort of raging jealousy. I went to university and then was a postgrad, and he seemed really jealous of this, and so he'd make these little snide remarks about it, about how, oh, well, you know, when you actually earn money, you know, proper money, not like what the state gives you, but like proper money, when you actually have a job, there'd be these little nasty remarks like this, because I had proper qualifications, and he didn't. He would do things, identity disturbance-wise, he would dye his hair dramatic and weird colours, which is like aposematism. It's a way of asserting a very strong identity and a way of conveying in nature danger, a way of saying, keep away from me, a way of conveying, but also asserting a very strong and unusual sense of identity. And he would steal. He would just randomly steal things. I was once with him in Oxford Street, and he just had this pair of gloves, suddenly. And I said, well, where'd you get this from? He just nicked them. He just stole them from a shop. So that is risk taking. That is an example of risk taking. He would another thing about changing an identity is he dropped out of university, and he dropped out of university twice, and was so ashamed to tell his parents he'd done so that he just hung around the local area all day, going in the morning and coming back in the evening, rather than telling them that he'd actually dropped out of university. And most significantly, he would idealise and de-idealise. So an evening with him would start with us drinking and having a laugh and whatever. And then I'd say, and he was enjoying himself and I was his best mate. And then I'd say one thing which upset him, normally a political opinion he didn't like. And then it would be, is that what you really think? Is that what you really think? God, you're a fascist, you're a Nazi, you know, all this. And he would just slag me off and go on and on and on. And then eventually, it would emerge that he was in his relationship was falling apart and whatever, and then he'd start crying and he'd re-idealise me as his best friend and the only person he can talk to, and he'd be blubbing in front of me, and then we'd part and then we'd meet up and the same thing would happen again. That's the idealisation and then the splitting, because you have a black and white view of the world, because that's how you cope with your anxiety and negative feelings, and you have to tell yourself that you're morally superior to others to make yourself feel better about yourself. That's the narcissism. And so then he would split, I'd be evil, and then something would happen and he'd split again and I'd be good, and then he'd feel he could open up, and then there'd be a total loss of emotional control, just a total loss of control, which is very unusual for a man. So that's the first one. The second one was a chap at university. This chap had a girlfriend, very pretty girlfriend, and when I first met him, I was on the first day of university. I didn't like him. He seemed very standoffish. He seemed very aloof. He didn't really want to engage in conversation. He was very odd with me for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe I think I was dominating the table. It was me and him and a bunch of women, and I was making everyone laugh. And it's as though he didn't like that, and he didn't like me. And then he would. One time I upset some female friend of his, and he came to my room and don't do this again, and that's a friendly warning. And then once he ran into me in Durham and said, you're behaving yourself like this, behaving yourself, Ed? Like these vague threats. And then I discovered that one day, you know, that he had this relationship with his girlfriend and he was extremely controlling, and he had a job at a bar in Durham, and she got a job at a bar in Durham, and he got a job at the same bar, and then he got a job on the same shift so he could monitor her, so he could watch her all the time, and she hated this, and she asked the manager to put them on different shifts. And then I knew a girl that lived with this girl, and he said there'd be these massive arguments and he'd be shouting all the time. And then one day I got off with this girl that was his ex-girlfriend or something, and he came up to me, and very subtly, so that nobody saw, he bit me on the ear and then vanished away. And as he vanished away, shouted, I'll bite your balls off. I couldn't believe it. And then the next day I went to my college tutor, and then there was this agreement. I don't know why I didn't go to the police, but then there was this agreement with the college that if I ever entered a room in Durham, he had to leave, which was then stuck to. So that was him. So the controlling and the raging jealousy. And then the final one was a guy that I knew in Oulu many years ago. And he was he had cuts all over his arms, so he did self harm. I once asked him, what is that on your arm? Oh, it is from a few years ago. I was going through a lot of fucking shit. And even though he was only 26, he was a total alcoholic. The most it's unbelievable how much he drank. It was extraordinary. I was one time he got very angry about something that was in the Paris Sormelinian newspaper, and he just furious grabbed it and threw it across the room and started shouting. So total lack of emotional control. So those would be the signs of male borderlines. And of course, another sign I should mention, I forgot to mention earlier, is cycling through careers. Have they had a relatively... Can you see the progression of their career across time? Or have they done this, and then 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 this? And it's, again, that skittishness that is a sign of being a borderline. Okay, well, I hope this is a bit of interest, and please subscribe and all that, and tally-ho, and I look forward to your comments on male borderlines, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?